Welcome to this edition of Buy Hold Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one website for expert investment analysis. Buy Hold Sell is a weekly show where two fund managers share their views on a selection of listed companies in their area of expertise. Buyers and sellers are what make the market, and you'll find that our guests don't always agree on the stocks being covered. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be the first to receive new episodes each week. If there are stocks you'd like our guests to discuss, let us know by leaving a comment in the review segment. Remember, the views expressed in this show are not recommendations to invest. You should seek appropriate investment advice before making any investment decisions. And of course, please read the disclaimer in the show's notes. Let's get into the show.
Hello and welcome to Livewire's Buy, Hold, Sell. My name's James Miley and today I'm joined by Shane Fitzgerald from Monash Investors and Emmanuel Dapp from Dapp Capital. And we are back in lockdown. I guess the beauty of that is we can bring our Victorian guests north of the border in a COVID-safe environment. Emmanuel, great to have some Victorian participation on the show. Today's show, we are doing a bit of a review, or we're doing a series of shows on the best and worst performers from FY21. And our guests today are going to be talking about the small cap sector of the market, which had a tearaway year. But underneath it all, it's kind of like a little bit of a mad feast underneath. Lots of volatility in small caps, as you would know. But we might kick things off with some of the really strong performers. I'm going to start with Imugene, market cap $1.2 billion. Shane, it's had a great year, more than double. Buy, hold, or a sell on Imugene?
Yeah, Imugene for us is a sell. Look, it's got a very novel sort of a modality. However, it's a very early stage business. You know, only one of its drugs in stage two clinical trials, the others are in stage one, even preclinical, really. So for that valuation, given there's so much road still ahead of this business, we think it's pretty full at the moment. So we'd say it's a sell.
Okay. Emmanuel, cancer therapies, it's obviously a huge and very attractive market. Attractive to the directors that bought some shares a little bit earlier on this year. Are you buying with the directors or are you a holder or a sell?
I'm a seller as well, James. Shane hits the nail on the head when he says that this is an early stage drug company. And I think investors, have to keep in mind that drug development is a risky process. You know, only about 10% of drugs actually progress all the way through the whole clinical trial phase through to regulatory approval. And I think at over $1 billion in market cap, it's very expensive for us.
So Imugene had a great year, but a company that also had a stellar year was Liontown Resources. The stock's been around for a long time. It's led by Tim Goyder, who's a veteran of the mining industry over there in WA. They're looking after lithium, $1.4 billion market cap. Emmanuel, buy, hold, or sell on Liontown?
I'd call this one a sell. It's run eight times in the last 12 months and is now capped at about $1.5 billion. I think the resource itself is quite good. However, it's not really unique and they're not actually going to be producing till about 2024. That's what the company are aiming for. So, I think there's a whole suite of lithium assets that are production ready. Legacy of the last lithium boom back in 2017. So I think that this is far from the only candidate. And, I think the price has run a little bit ahead of the fundamentals here.
Okay, that's a sell. Shane, Liontown. It's tapping into that theme with electric vehicles. There's been a lot of interest in the lithium producers, particularly over the last 12 months. They even managed to put ESG on slide 3 of their latest presentation, which is obviously catching the attention of some investors. The buy, hold, or sell on Liontown for you?
Yeah, look, I to and fro on this one quite a bit. At the end of the day, I came down on a hold. I acknowledge all the points that our colleagues just mentioned there about, it's a long stage business and it's a good resource. What I think that's a bit hard to fully value, though, is the optionality in this company. It's the fourth biggest resource of hydroxide lithium in the world, and it's uncontracted. That's not the case anywhere else. It's also coming on stream in 2024 where the so-called gap in supply in lithium is going to be at its peak. So Yeah, there is a lot of optionality, and there's also the optionality when they're spinning out of their gold and copper assets as well. So, yeah, I think the valuation is certainly up there, but at this point I think it's still a hold.
Okay. Now, one of 2020's darlings was Mesoblast. The stock was all the rage when COVID hit the market 12 months ago. They peaked towards the second half of last year, and it's been a downhill slide ever since. Shane, buy, hold or sell on Mesoblast?
Mesoblast is a sell for us. You know, this company's been around for an awful long time. It's had plenty of fall storms, and we saw a couple of them in the last little while. Back in December, they had their heart failure medications missed one of its primary endpoints. It did okay in one of the others, and they're trying to repurpose the drug. But this is the sort of classic story in Mesoblast. It's always something around the corner, and it never seems to deliver. So for us, it's a sell.
Emmanuel, Mesoblast, it's been around a long time. It's raised a lot of capital, and it's been a bit of a rollercoaster ride, as Shane described. Are you a buy, hold, or sell on Mesoblast?
I'm a seller as well, James. So, as Shane pointed out, Mesoblast have been around for a very long time. They first floated in 2004 and haven't yet come out with a commercial product. They do have a big suite of products, so they're sort of towards the mid and tail end of the regulatory approval process. And, there's no doubt that they have attracted large pharmaceutical partners. But ultimately, this is a company that consumes a lot of cash with very little outcome so far. So definitely a sell from our side.
Next stock, another rough year, Kogan. It was a beneficiary in FY20, had a cracking year with demand brought forward under the COVID circumstances, hasn't had such a good run in 21. Buy, hold or sell, Emmanuel?
Kogan is a hold for us, James. We think that even though the company had a great run last year, they have experienced some operational teething problems and hiccups this year. But I think overall, for the long term, the company will continue to benefit from the tailwind of the transition to online shopping, but also attractive is that its founder run. And Ruslan Kogan has proven to be quite canny and entrepreneurial. So that's a plus point for us. But it's definitely a hold for us, not quite in the buy zone as yet.
Shane, a wise investor once told me that downturns come in threes. We saw one in April with some indigestion around the growth pains. Are you a buy, hold or a sell on Kogan at the moment?
Yeah, look, at the moment, look, I'm going to say buy on this one with a caveat. I want to see the next result, which is not that far away. Look, Kogan's problems in the last 12 months really boiled down to a simple thing. They believed that the step up in their business experience coming out of COVID, when everyone was in lockdown and everyone was spending online, was the new normal, new base, and they're going to grow from that. So they built the inventory around that assumption, the distribution around that assumption, and then obviously it was just a blip, basically, and things came back down to earth. So they need to cycle out that inventory build that they've had. But I back this management team. They're a very, very competent management team. They're excellent retailers, and there's an excellent play on e-commerce. So we do see long-term value there. But like I said, I just want to see the next result and be confident that inventory issues that they've been dealing with is resolved.
Okay. Well, that's a couple of micro stock-specific questions on the best and the worst. Had a cracking run in the small ords through FY21. We need to now look forward, Shane. Are you a bull or a bear on the outlook, particularly with the smaller company end of the market over the next 12 months?
Look, I would say I'm sort of a perpetual bull when it comes to the small cap market, and it's for a simple reason. Large caps are, by their very definition, because they're large, leverage plays on the economy. So they're very dependent on what the economy is doing, up or down. In the small cap space, what you tend to find is businesses where it's something about the business itself, the execution on a new strategy, a product launch, a geographical rollout story that is the story. So whether or not interest rates are going up or down or the GDP growth prints a point higher or lower is not the thing that's going to drive those stocks. So you can always find these businesses. And in any given year, you find plenty of stocks to go up a lot and plenty to go down a lot. And that's our happy hunting ground.
Yeah, it's interesting that the four stocks that we just discussed as the best or worst performers all had idiosyncratic reasons behind their good or their bad performance over the past 12 months. Emmanuel, I'm going to give you the same question just on the small cap end of the market. Are you a bull or a bear or no animal at all over the next 12 months?
I'm definitely a bull on the small cap space, and it is because you find a lot of these companies market neutral in the sense that, you know, a lot of them are experiencing strong organic growth and are run by great entrepreneurial CEOs. So they have a lot more insulation from general market conditions, than just large stocks that tend to trade around due to other factors.
We've also asked you each to bring along a stock that you think looks good for the next 12 months. Emmanuel, I'm going to start with you. Can you pitch us an idea for the next 12 months in that small cap space, something that's got you excited, and give us the thesis on it?
Yeah, absolutely. So my pick would be Dusk Group. So Dusk is an Australian homewares retailer, best known for its scented candles, and it just recently floated onto the ASX in November 2020. It has about 120 physical stores. And somewhat uniquely, since floating, the company have released three consecutive positive earnings upgrades. And, it basically demonstrates very strong sales growth, but also importantly, margin expansion, which is basically the holy grail of retail. The company continue to grow towards its long-term goal of 150 stores in Australia. But interestingly, it's also commencing its international expansion with New Zealand first off the rank. So some really interesting things we consider for the company going ahead is that the UK and the US markets have been flagged for future expansion. And I think just the metrics of the company are just absolutely incredible. Some of them, each store turns in about $1 million of revenue. And you can pair that with other great retail chains like LaVisa. That's double of LaVisa's revenue per store, basically. And it has strong customer loyalty. It's been growing its customer loyalty program by 50% over the last 12 months. But also the company trades incredibly cheaply for a growth stock. So it currently trades at an EBIT multiple of about 6x, which is closer to a private market value than a public market value, we think. We value the company as it stands at about $6 a share, and today it trades for a little under $4. So we think there's quite a bit of upside potential going forward for this stock.
Shane, that was Dusk Group from Emmanuel. Compelling pitch there. Have you got something that can match that or do better than that for the next 12 months?
Well, I certainly hope so. It's one of the bigger positions in our portfolio. I'm going to say LaVisa. Look, LaVisa's had a very rocky period during the COVID lockdowns because literally their stores were closed. But we think it's going to be a great reopening trade story. If you think about what's going to happen as the world reopens, there's going to be a lot of celebrations. People who had a party, who had a birthday, don't normally have a party, will probably have a party. And that plays right into their cheap jewelry line offering that they have. So we think you could see some pretty exciting sales growth, like-for-like sales growth coming forward in this business. Over and above that, the longer-term story on LaVisa has always been the store rollout program they're pursuing offshore. They are very early days in that rollout story. They've got circa 500 stores around the world. The end game here is 2,000+. So it's not going to happen overnight. So it's just going to deliver very solid new store openings year after year after year, and that's going to underpin very solid sales and earnings growth. So we think LaVisa looks pretty good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our small cap best and worst for FY21 episode. Not a whole lot of love in the best and worst performers from our group, but they did pitch us a couple of compelling small cap ideas for the year ahead. Emmanuel and Shane, thanks for your time. And for all you viewers out there, don't forget to subscribe to LiveWire's YouTube channel. We have fresh content going up all the time, and you can catch the other best and worst of FY21 episodes there on our YouTube channel. Thank you very much for watching.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by LiveWire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis. Register for free at livewiremarkets.com to discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.